Take your Bibles, please, and I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We are preaching a series of messages on heaven, trying to answer some of the questions and get some people ready for it, get them saved, and some Christians that might be excited about what heaven is. A wonderful place, and those who are saved are going to go there. So today I want to talk to you about the maximum makeover. We're going to have a great makeover in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll start out with verse 35, reading through verse 49. The scripture says, "But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" Good question. "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." He said, don't be foolish. Listen to what I'm going to tell you about it. "That which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of the flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial." We have bodies in heaven, bodies down here on earth, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. They're different. "There's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory." That's an amazing statement. True from the Word of God. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. For the first man is of the earth, earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, so or such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Beautiful, beautiful verses, and they contain so much information for us. What will we look like in heaven? What do people look like that have already gone over there? Will we have some kind of corporeal, physical bodies? I believe the body teaches us that we will have. Here's one of the requirements for it. We notice that right off, and that is, it is the requirement of resurrection that the body dies. It's not going to be resurrected until it dies. Verse 36, that's why he worded it this way, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." First of all, it has to die. The body has to die. In John 12:24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground or die, it abideth alone." And think of what he's saying here. "Except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." First of all, it has to die, and then as a result of it being resurrected, so to speak, then it brings forth much fruit as a result of that. Now, looking at death is not something we should be afraid of. Amen? It's a biblical perspective that we need when we think of death and dying. We should embrace death, not fear death. And I know that seems strange to us. We say, well, I'm afraid to die. But really, as a believer, as a born-again person, we should embrace death and not be afraid of death and know that death can be really a good thing for us because it is a forerunner of the resurrected body. It is something that leads to, ultimately, the resurrected body. Now, we, of course, know that the rapture can change all of those things, but given as it is today, as we're living today, and not knowing when the rapture is going to take place, most of this is going to apply to us until Jesus comes. It's going to be that way. So we have a biblical perspective. We don't fear death. Death has to occur in order for us to be raised from the dead. It's just something that has to happen. Well, then secondly, we realize that the result of the resurrection, thank God, is a different kind of body. We have to die and be buried to be raised. Some people ask me about whether or not I think they ought to be buried or cremated. I don't know of any specific thing in the Bible that says you cannot be cremated, but it does seem like when he's talking about burial, planting the seed, that should have some kind of emphasis on it for us when it comes to the human body. But you have to answer to God for that, and you make up your own mind. But I do know we're going to have to die, and that body has to be buried in order for there to be that resurrection. But the result of it is a different kind of body. Look at verses 37 and 38. Going back to those two verses in 1 Corinthians 15. And that which thou sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be. It's not going to be the same, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. It's going to come up whatever you buried, the kind of grain it is, or kind of seed it is. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and every seed his own body. And so he's talking about the seed being one thing, and the result of the bearing of that seed being another thing. The result is completely different in the kind of body. The seed is one thing. The body is what we plant, and it produces another. For instance, I was pastored almost 20 years in Indiana, and they raise a lot of soybeans and corn up there. If you ever drive through Indiana after they planted that corn and it comes up, you see just acres and acres and acres and miles and miles and miles of that corn. But when they go out to plant it and you see the planter, you see seed in there. You don't see those beautiful green stalks, and you don't see the 4 or 5 ears of corn, whatever it might be, on that stalk as it grows up. We'd go out and get some corn that one of our farmers would give us. He was had been a farmer for many, many years, and he said, "Preacher, if you'll come out and pick it, I'll give you the corn." And we had that Queen Anne corn, I believe it was called, but it's the best. I'd rather have that than a fudgesicle. I'm telling you, it's good corn. And we would eat that stuff, put hot butter on the hot corn cob, and maybe eat 4 or 5 cobs of that. But when they plant it, it doesn't look too desirable. It's just a sort of a shriveled up seed that gets planted. But boy, when it comes up, and you have that green stalk, and you have those ears of corn, and you pull them, and then you go get it ready and get it ready for your wife to cook, that's a whole different story. But the body has to die in order for that to happen. The seed has to do that in order for there to be that germination that they talk about. And it's raised an entirely different body. One body goes in the ground, and another body comes out differently. It's not the same body that goes in the ground. It comes out differently. It is a glorified body. And when we think about that body, we think about what the Bible says about it. And the Bible tells us that the body dies, and then it is raised an entirely different body. Well, how is it different? Well, I think about 3 or 4 different ways we can mention that we see here in the Scripture. One of them, it's indestructible. Look at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, weakness, so on and so forth. It is raised in incorruption. It's raised in incorruption. Our resurrected body is different because it is indestructible. Now, the bodies we have now are not that way, are they? Our bodies, we may not like to talk about it, but our bodies are getting older. And even you young people, your body's getting older. But some of us who are older, our bodies are really getting older. And we know that that's a reality that is coming if Christ does not come in our lifetime. I'm getting older. You're getting older. Things quit working right. Some of you have hearing aids. You can't hear me too good. And your eyes are changing. And a lot of different things. I remember when I could go over here in the gym, and Brother Rigsby and I would take on those young whippersnappers and beat them in basketball. That was a few years ago. But something's happened to Brother Rigsby and me since then. We just look at them now. We can coach them and tell them what they're doing wrong. But our bodies are getting older. And if Jesus tarries his coming, guess what's going to happen to me? I'm going to die. If Jesus does not come in my lifetime, it's a reality, it's a fact that you and I are going to die if he does not come in our lifetime. Our bodies are just getting older, and science cannot stop it. In other words, they are corruptible. They do all they can. They've done everything in cryonics and all kinds of things where they think they can freeze you and thaw you out 50 years later and you'll still be young and all of that. Listen, science can't take care of it. We are going to die. You say, well, that's not very appealing and exciting. I didn't say it was. I just said it's a fact of the Word of God. We are going to die, but we shouldn't be afraid of it. But these bodies, thank God, are not our heavenly bodies. And I sure am glad about that. They will also not only be indestructible, but they'll be identifiable. Look at verse 43. It is sown in dishonor, and it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. The word glory there could be interpreted brilliance. And I think he's saying it's better. Will our bodies glow? I don't know about that, but I can tell you it'll be a glorified body, a wonderful body. Paul said in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, who shall change our vile body? That's what we have now, our vile body, and then he will fashion it like unto his glorious body. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's going to do with our body. It'll be identifiable. And the Bible has some scriptures in it that says something like this, then we will know even as we are known. We will know even as we are known. In other words, we will recognize other people in heaven. You'll recognize your mother and daddy, your husband, your wife, your children, whatever it may be. And we'll get into a little more of that about the children later on, but we will recognize people in heaven. You will know even as you're known. We will have an identifiable body, and it'll be fashioned like Jesus' glorious body. 1 John 3, 2 says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Verse 49, he says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. I like that. You see, my mother was a druid, my daddy was a weaver, but they tell me that I look more like the druid. Now, I can't help that. It's just a fact. But I look more like the druid side. My sister looks more like the weaver side. I had a brother that looked more like the weaver side, so on and so forth. And that's because of the genetical makeup that, as a result of mom and dad and the fact that we were conceived in my mother's womb, we have that genetical makeup. And some people say, you look just like your mother. You look just so much like your daddy. And we just can't help it, can we? Because that's the way it is. It's that genetical makeup. And so we have that in these bodies that we have today. And he is clear about that. But he gives us some great, great encouragement. We shall bear the image of the heavenly. What's that? The body of Jesus Christ. A body like those that have that spiritual body. And a body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it'll be indestructible, thank God. It'll be identifiable. And then we know that it'll be a body like Jesus. Well, what kind of body did he have? Let's look at his post-resurrection body. For about 40 days, the Lord Jesus Christ walked back and forth on this planet Earth in his glory, in his resurrected body after he had been raised from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ did that. Well, what kind of body did he have then? Well, we read in the scriptures, and Jesus made the statement that his body was real. In Luke 24, for instance, verse 39, Jesus said, in that, handle me and see. Touch me, handle me and see. In other words, he had a real body. It is a spiritual body, but it is a real body. And then I like this. We Baptists really like this Jesus 8. So don't worry, heaven's going to be fine. Amen. Jesus 8. Was he hungry? The Bible doesn't say he was hungry. Then why did he eat? Same reason a lot of us eat more than we should. It's very pleasurable. Why did Jesus eat? I don't think he was weak. I don't think that was the issue at all. But it was something pleasurable for him to do, to eat the honeycomb and the fish with the disciples. And he talks about that on two different occasions. It's going to be that way. And I believe we'll eat in heaven. I believe we'll eat in the millennium. I believe we'll have pleasure in that. We'll have a body like the body of Jesus Christ, who said, touch my body, and who ate in that body for pleasure. Luke 24 and John 21 tells us about those things. And then remember what Jesus said to Thomas. Thomas was doubting that he was really raised from the grave, raised from the dead. And here he told him to touch his body in John 20:27. He told him to touch his body. He said, feel these scars. The scars are there. Somebody said that the only thing in heaven that will not be, the only thing in heaven will be man-made are the scars that we put into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that he told Thomas, to touch his body. Then he told Mary on one occasion, because he had not been gone to his father yet, he said to her, don't touch my body. That was his call. That was why he said, don't reach around and hug me. Don't touch my body. Don't hold on to me. John 20:17. Certainly all of these teach us we can recognize Jesus, and that Jesus and his glorified body communicated, and we will be recognizable, and we will communicate with others in our spiritual and glorified body. Our new bodies are going to be incredible. Absolutely incredible. You talk about a makeover. Verse 43, he said, it is raised in what? Power. Not weakness. We die in weakness. We don't like to see that. We don't like to see our loved ones die in weakness and get weak and get to that point. But they're going to be raised in power. Great power, according to the Word of God. And that's going to be a wonderful thing. It's going to be a powerful body. You know, Jesus walked into that room with the apostles, with the disciples there. He never had to use the doorknob. Never did have to open the door. He just walked right through it, went right in, and sat down and ate with them. He said, well, I don't understand a body like it. You don't have to understand it. The Bible declares it. That's the kind we're going to have. It's going to be an incredible thing, marvelous thing. Never have another bad cold, never have sinus problems. Never have allergy, never have another heart attack, never have any of the problems we have with our bodies today. We will not have that. We'll have a body that is an incredible body, and we'll be able, while we'll live in dimensions we can't even think of. We will be able to travel at the speed of thought. We can be at McDonald's in a second, amen, right after church is over. But we'll have these incredible bodies. And then our bodies are going to be infinite. They're not going to end. They're not going to deteriorate. Look at verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised what? A spiritual body. There's a natural body. There's a spiritual body. It'll be raised a spiritual body according to the Word of God. That means it will be an infinite body. In other words, it will not be controlled by time, nor will it be controlled by appetites. I'd be glad, and I heard someone say that recently, but it'll be great to get to heaven where you won't have to deal with this sin-cursed, Adamic body. Not just because of the pain, but because of the temptation, because of all that goes on in our minds and our bodies and all that takes place. And I'm not just talking about sexual temptation. I'm talking about jealousy, envy, pride, all of those other things. We have to deal with all of that in these bodies. But there, we will not do that because we will not be controlled by a natural appetite. Now we are. But there, we will not be. We'll be controlled by a spiritual appetite only. Only a spiritual appetite. Look at verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood is not going to go there. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. There'll be no corruption as such in heaven. It's not going to happen. We're going to be given a glorified body, and we're not going to have to face that. It is spirit controlled, and it is going to last forever. Verse 51 and 52, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We're going to be changed. The Bible is so clear about that. What a wonderful thing. 1 Thessalonians tells us about that. In chapter 4, verse 13, Paul said, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep, those that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort, wherefore, comfort you one another with these words. What a wonderful, glorified, marvelous body we're going to have. There'll be no, I think of Tim Lee. Tim was with us recently. Tim will be given a new body, a glorified body. He lost his legs in Vietnam, paying the price for our freedom, as many have, many men and women who have lost limbs. But if they're saved, when they die and they are in the presence of God in the great resurrection time, in the rapture, they'll be given that new glorified body. And Tim Lee will have legs again, and he'll have a body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you this. Are you sure today that you're going to have that makeover? Are you sure today that you're going to be raised to go to be with the Lord and have a glorified body, a spiritual body? Listen, my friend, if you die without Christ, these things will not be yours to claim. The truth is, you will have an existence, and you will be in a place of eternal separation from God. You'll be suffering throughout all of eternity in a real existence. But if you get saved, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, someday, if Christ tarries his coming, you will die. They'll bury you, like we bury a seed out in the farmer's field. But then when the rapture comes and Christ comes, the dead in Christ are going to be raised first, and the rest of us will be immediately translated, and we'll all go up to be with the Lord. That's only for the saved people. If you're not saved today, I encourage you to get saved. My friends, it might do us good to remember, too, that right now, even though we don't have our glorified bodies, our bodies right now, today, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I won't say a lot about that tonight, but our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if they are, we ought to live like it. We ought to treat them like it. We ought to dress them like it. We ought to watch our habits that would reflect that our bodies are the temple of Jesus Christ. But hallelujah to the Lamb. One day we're going to be given an eternal glorified body like our Savior, our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. In chapter 15, verse 19, if in this life only you have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. No, we don't just have hope in Christ here. We have hope in Christ for all of eternity. Thank God, if you're saved, you can rejoice in that truth. Let's stand, please. We invite you to come and receive Christ as your Savior today. You're a sinner. You need to be saved like all of us. Jesus died for you, paid your sin debt. If you'll ask Him, just believe it and ask Him, He'll save you. How do you know that, preacher? He promised He would. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We want you to come, step out, and say, I want to be saved. I want to know that when I die, after I've been buried, when Christ comes again, I'll be given this glorious, wonderful resurrection body like His, forever and forever. Father, I pray now you'd bless an invitation. Thank you, God, that we understand the Scriptures teach us that right now the Holy Spirit lives in our bodies if we are saved. May we think about that and treat our bodies accordingly as the house of God, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of you, dear God, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's anything we need to do to correct that, help us to do it. But especially for the unsaved, those who are not sure, when they die, they're going to heaven. I pray that today they'd step out and receive Christ, that they may know that they'll be receiving this glorified, made over body like Jesus Christ. We pray and ask it in His name. Amen.